After I finished a ham sandwich on rye, I caught up with the tour. It wasn't hard, as Nova was slowing down the line. When I reached them, I decided that it would be a good time to introduce myself to the Billings family. I knew Harv thought it was ridiculous that a seemingly average family from New Kansas could be involved with a murder at the pole, but that's why Harv's the assistant and I'm the lead. Sure, Harv can translate hundreds of languages. Sure, he can recite statistics on pretty much anything they keep statistics on, and some things they don't. Sure, he can plot the orbits of all the known planets on any day in history. But Harv wouldn't know a hunch if it walked up to him, saluted, and then kneed him in the groin. At least, not the old Harv. With Harv changing and evolving as he was, maybe soon he'd be able to. The Billings family was at the front of the group, trailing slightly behind Elf 2. They were hanging on her every word, though Billy's eyes were darting back and forth between Elf 2's and Nova's cleavage. I slowly weaved my way through the group until I was just behind the Billingses. My first impression was that the Billingses looked overdressed in their elf suits. I couldn't put a mental finger on it. They weren't itching or acting like a caveman at a debutante Sweet 16 party, but to my eye, they were clearly out of their element.
"Marvelous place, the pole."
Billy turned to me and smiled. It was a toothy grin. He had some gaps where he was missing teeth, but the teeth he had were so big I didn't know where the replacement teeth would fit. He reminded me of a beaver with a bad haircut and a worse dental plan.
"This place is nifty cubed."
I patted him on the head. Not sure why. It seemed like the right thing to do.
"Mommy! Daddy! This man touched me!"
The group stopped moving. I felt every eye lock onto me. I retracted my hand from Billy's head and hid it behind my back.
"Oh yeah, Zach. Keep your arm behind your back. I'm sure they'll all forget you have one."
Right then, I had bigger problems to worry about. Bob Paw Billings was making a beeline straight for me. He was a big, solid man, and a quick glance was all you needed to know he worked with his body for a living. He had a flat face, complete with a flat nose, flat head, and a crew cut to boot. The top of his head was so flat I was sure he could balance a pitcher of water on it without even trying. He pushed a finger into my chest.
"You touching my son, mister? I don't care what kind of fancy pants blogger you are, you don't touch my boy."
I put both my arms up in a smooth, non-threatening position so he could see them and know I wasn't going to try to be a tough guy.
No offense, Mr. Billings. Just trying to be friendly."
He didn't react, which was better than punching me, but not what I was hoping for.
I understand you people are from New Kansas. I've heard people there are really friendly."
"We are friendly. We just don't take kindly to strangers."
Alf, too, tried squeezing our body between us to defuse the situation.
"Mr. Billings, I am sure Mr. Star meant no harm."
Pa Billings didn't back down. I had to give him his props for being protective of his son, though this was getting on my nerves. Maybe he was the type of guy who wouldn't back down unless I stood up to him? Maybe he wouldn't respect me unless I gave him a reason to. I slowly started to curl my right hand into a fist. It was such a slight movement, I doubt anybody noticed it.
"Easy, Zach. This isn't the time."
I let my hand relax. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see Nova and the nerds. The nerds were cluelessly waiting in anticipation for Pa to give me a thrashing. Nova, on the other hand, dropped back a step the nano I relaxed my hand. She frowned. I have to respect a girl who loves a good brawl.
"Bob, leave that poor man alone!"
Betty Billings moved toward us. She wasn't bad to look at. She was a tall, slender woman with short black hair that, unlike her husband's, didn't look like she cut it with farm equipment. She had a peachy complexion that wasn't nearly as tanned as the rest of her family's. Carol certainly hit the nail right on the head about Ma Billings' skin tone. It didn't look like this woman spent much time outside. Betty grabbed Bob's hand, which was still curled in a fist, and slowly forced it back down to his side. She stood between us, facing him.
"Remember what Judge Clemens said, Bob. You can't be so sensitive. This man wasn't trying to hurt our boy."
Bob stood his ground.
"Bob, don't make me call the judge when we get home."
Bob hung his head and dropped his guard.
"Good man."
Turning her attention to Billy, she bent down and waved a finger in his face.
"And you! What have we told you about spamming Wolf?"
"But Mom, they taught us in school not to let strangers touch us."
Ma Billings targeted her glare on her son.
"Oh, I'm sorry, Mom."
"Now, apologize to Mr. Star so he writes nice things about us."
He turned to look at me, paused for a nano, and then turned back to his mom.
"Oh, Ma, I don't want to apologize. I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, you're just like your father. Just once, I wish this family would do what I told them to without me hitting him over the head with a brick.
Bobby, the daughter, joined in the fray.
Mom, you don't have to tell me anything twice.
No, but being a suck-up is just as bad.
I'm not like that. Mom, I'm not! If you want, I can find you a brick to hit them with.
Billy responded by showing his sister his tongue. I hoped Electra didn't want kids anytime in the near future. Ma Billings' face wasn't pale any longer. It was now redder than her elf suit.
Bobby, tell Billy you're sorry. Billy, tell Bobby you're sorry. Then tell Mr. Star you're really sorry. Remember, we want to be kind to strangers, especially those who can write about us.
Before I had a chance to say there was no need for Billy to make an apology, Mary Eatman started forward.
Don't worry.
She bent down to face Billy.
If Mr. Star writes anything bad about any of us, I'll sue him for so many credits he'll have to clone himself 10 times to have any chance to earn that much.
Really?
Really. That's what we lawyers do. We make people's lives better.
Maybe I'll be a lawyer.
No! I want to be a lawyer!
I don't want any of my kids being a dossing lawyer.
What's wrong with being a lawyer?
How much time do you have?
Please! You don't have nearly enough money to pay for my time.
Excuse me, everybody.
Everyone instantly turned their attention to the good Stormy Weathers. The councilwoman was an appealing, commanding presence. Part of that was on account of her size. She was tall, nearly as tall as her ex-quarterback hubby. While she wasn't a muscular powerhouse like Nova, it was obvious she was no stranger to the gym. Her hair hung softly over her shoulders. It was an expensive cut that didn't look it. And it managed to complement Stormy Weather's face perfectly without being pretentious. The flawless hair on top of the strong, taut body helped complete the total package, making Weather's a unique cross between soccer grandmom, retired model, and barracuda.
Now, my good people, I'm sure we can all agree that nothing is gained by fighting.
Can you fix our problems?
Of course I can. After all, that's why you all voted for me. The solution is easy.
She looked at me.
Mr. Star, apologize to poor Billy for touching him without asking for permission, or at the very least, alerting him to your intentions.
All eyes steadied on me.
Sorry, kid.
All eyes returned to the councilwoman, who turned to Billy.
Now, Billy, tell Mr. Star you are sorry you overreacted.
I'm sorry, Mr. Star, sir.
No problem, kid.
Now, you people should all agree that farmers, engineers, and even lawyers who call themselves lawyers are all essential to our great planet's economic diversity. We are all different, and that's what makes our planet great. If it wasn't for our differences, we might as well all be androids, bots, clones, or meshes.
Everyone nodded in agreement, even Bim and Norp.
Now everybody shake hands so Elf 2 can continue our fine tour.
They all immediately began shaking hands and getting along like they were family. No, better than family. Like they were people who actually liked each other. The tour continued. The Eatmans and Billingses walked with each other, chatting like they'd known one another forever. Nova kept throwing looks at me, while Bim and Norp split their time gawking at Nova and the councilwoman. The councilwoman didn't say much after that. She just smiled. For the most part, the remainder of the tour was impressive, but uneventful. When you're me, a little uneventful now and then is a good thing. Contrary to what some people, like Electra, Tony, Harf, that court-appointed therapist from a few years ago, my agent and my high school math teacher believe, I don't need to live under the constant threat of danger. I like the quiet times when nobody's trying to kill, maim, or castrate me. Trust me, it's never fun when somebody tries to castrate you. That gets old real fast. The pole certainly was a big place. Elf 2 told us the facilities were bigger than 25.567% of the cities on Earth. We saw the data mining rooms where elves and expert intelligence systems sift through the gigabytes upon gigabytes of data the pole collects on everybody in order to choose the perfect gift for each individual. We saw the pole's virtual computer servers. We learned that the pole receives over 60 billion electronic requests for gifts each year. Yes, there are only 15 billion people on Earth, but according to Elf 2, the average person changes their requests 3.2 times before they finally decide what they really want. In fact, to help people who change their mind more than 4 times, the elves have invented a special present consulting software that will help happy customers choose the perfect gifts that will make them even happier customers.
We saw many of the Pole's automated assembly lines where the computers and electronic gadgets are slapped together by trained elf technicians and their robotic aides. We saw the handcrafted zones where elf craftsmen make special one-of-a-kind gifts for those people who have everything or just want something that is different from what everybody else has. The tour wrapped with a visit to the Pole's coup de grâce, their storage center. Yeah, I know you're thinking, how could a storage center be the coup de grâce? It's just a big building where packages sit before they're sent somewhere else. That's the kicker. It wasn't just a big building. It was a humongous building that looked like it had eaten a couple of other big buildings, and these didn't come close to satisfying its needs. Hey, I've seen the Ultra Hyper Mega Mart-sponsored Grand Canyon, and truthfully, it wasn't quite as impressive as the Pole's storage center. Sure, the Grand Canyon was actually bigger, but it wasn't that much bigger, and it was created over millions of years by erosion. This place was built in under a year by a bunch of elves and bots. Alto explained to us that once a present is made for an individual, it's coded and stored in a special area. Every person in the world has their own special spot in the storage room where their gifts are kept. Each spot is encoded into the Pole's automated teleportation systems, along with the address of the recipient's teleportation receiver. Elf 2 also told us that to save time and space, they keep a good portion of the gifts that are completed early suspended in a phased state. In this state, they are neither solid nor whole, but kept in between dimensions in a near-ready-to-deliver state. All it takes is the simple press of a button to transport the presents from a phased state to their final destination. This way, when it's time for the mass teleportation, it's easy to quickly get the right presents to the right people. Truthfully, the physics involved were beyond me. So instead, I thought about other more mundane matters, such as, how many outfits does each elf have? How often do elves get naughty with each other? What else do elves do when they goof off? Later, during a Q&A session, I learned the answers to those questions were 5, none of my business, wink wink, and elves don't goof off. As the tour finished, Nova insisted that I meet her in the gym for a little workout. It seems walking kilometers wasn't nearly enough exercise for Nova. I agreed, figuring that would be the best way to get information out of her. I didn't think she was involved in this. Killing things with bots wasn't her style, but I couldn't rule her out just yet. Before I'd meet her in the gym, I told her I needed to go back to my room to take notes on what I'd seen. Harv activated himself the nano I stepped foot in my room.
Ooh, isn't the physics involved in storing and shipping massive amounts of gifts fascinating?
Yeah, it's amazing what humans can do when they put their minds to it. I sat down on the bed and slid my shoes off. For those of you interested, elf shoes are far more comfortable than they look, but still not as comfortable as a really good-fitting pair of sneakers that are broken in just right.
Actually, Zach, most of the work was done by elves, not humans.
The elves were created by humans.
Yes, I have to give you that one.
Speaking of humans, what do you think of my group?
First off, that Mary seems real nice.
Yeah, sort of like bumping your head and stubbing your toe at the same time.
Gee, Zach, for a detective, you're awful clumsy.
It was an analogy, Harv. What else do you have for me?
I've been subtly using the Pole's computer system to gather data. I have an interesting bit of information on the meshes. Over the last few years, they have been experimenting pretty heavily with remote reprogramming of standalone systems.
So they could have reprogrammed the bots to attack me?
Yes.
Do they have a motive?
To attack you or sabotage the holiday?
Either.
None that I can find. They are totally unaffected by the holiday. They don't leave Mars very often.
Well, that's good. They're pretty annoying.
Hold on. Let me scan some more. I just calculated something. I've just learned that Nova and the other mutant wrestlers have a strange fondness for ice.
Ice?
A special ice.
Okay, Harv. What kind of ice?
It's the ice here at the Pole.
Well, they certainly have enough of it.
Maybe, but they won't sell it. Santana is very picky about that. She doesn't believe in using the land for personal gains.
Santana's an idealist. It sort of comes with the territory.
Some have offered up to 1,000 credits per liter of ice.
What did they do? Lose the recipe or something?
Huh?
It was a joke, Harv. Remember, Steve says I'm a funny guy.
True, but he is an engineer. Everybody knows they have a skewed sense of humor.
Good point.
Admit it. Nova's still a possibility. She loves eyes, and she's a member of the SSS.
Maybe, but she seems more of an in-your-face type to me.
I also have some information on the Billings family.
Yeah?
The mother used to be an H-Tech senior exec engineer. Her group designed the guard bots. She quit over some sort of disagreement. It was buried deeper than Hoffa.
See what you can find if you poke around a little bit.
I also have some information on Councilwoman Weathers.
Well?
I hate to say I told you so. Oh, who am I kidding? I love to say it. I told you so. She's perfectly clean, never even been accused of any wrongdoing. She has never missed a council meeting vote.
What about her relationship with her husband?
Married 18 years, no kids, no affairs, no scandals. Nothing even the least bit interesting. Besides, of course, her miraculous recovery from her nearly lethal crash.
Okay, how about finances?
They both come from well-off families. Still, I wouldn't call them giga-rich, more like mega-rich.
Could a person in her position change facts?
Of course, but it would cost a bundle to change anything really important.
Is there anything unusual at all?
Okay, hold on. I'll scan. This might be of interest to you, though I'm not sure why.
I'll be the judge of that, Harv.
Mr. Weathers owned a small independent mining company. It seems he took it over from Stormy's brother-in-law, who was having trouble running it. There aren't many things left to mine on this planet, and the other planets are so particular about mining rights.
See if the mining company has ever had any contact with HTEC or Excel or the Meshes or anybody else here. While you're at it, check out all the Meshes' experiments and all the Weathers' purchases and sales over the last 5 years. Also try to find out why Mrs. Billings quit HTEC.
And while I'm at it, perhaps you'd like me to calculate pi to the last digit.
Just do it, Harv, and stop complaining. Nobody likes a whiny supercomputer.
I'm not whining. I'm simply pointing out how I have to do all the hard work.
You? I'm the one that gets beat up.
Yes, but that's easy. I'm the one who does all the heavy thinking.
It seems that Mary and Steve are the only two I can rule out as suspects.
What? You're saying a lawyer and an engineer are incapable of committing crimes?
Nah, that's not it. They just don't fit the profile.
But they've been planning this trip for 5 years.
Exactly. You don't make reservations 5 years in advance to a place you're trying to destroy. If anything, the reservation makes them convenient patsies.
If you say so. I'm just a machine.
I wouldn't turn my back on Mary, but I was sure that she and her husband weren't the culprits here. As for Nova, the jury was still out. I was hoping I could cross her off the list after we met in the gym. When I arrived at the Pole's spacious gym, my fellow travelers were already there. Councilwoman Weathers and Carl were on simulated cross-country ski machines. She was going at a quick pace, while he was taking it rather slow. It was easy to see who wore the pants in that marriage. The Eatmans were using the free weights that looked like gift boxes. Even in these high-tech times, it's still hard to beat a good old-fashioned free weight, even one wrapped in neon gift paper. Steve was doing a bench press as two elves spotted him, and Mary looked on, either counting, giving him encouragement, or hoping he'd throw out his back so she could sue the Pole. The Billings family was at the far corner of the gym. They were playing catch with a big anti-grav medicine snowball. Billy was sneaking peeks at Nova whenever he could. Nova, not surprisingly, was in the boxing ring. She had ripped the legs and arms off of her elf suit. While the female elves wore dresses, the female guests wore pantsuits, and looked far sexier in an elf suit than should be possible. Nova's opponent in the squared circle was a very excited Bim. He was dressed in oversized red boxing trunks, complete with oversized green gloves. He was prancing around her, darting in and out. He wasn't actually doing anything. He was being a typical male and had no idea that he really had no idea what he was doing in the ring. I'm sure he thought he looked like Muhammad Ali, but he came off more like Truman Capote, only less macho. He was floating like a one-winged bee and stinging like a butterfly. Norp was eagerly waiting his turn on the side of the ring. He was jumping up and down almost as much as Bim was, shadowboxing with an imaginary foe who could probably whip his butt. Norp clearly had no more business being in the ring with Nova than I would have being in a bullfight. Nova looked bored by the whole thing. She stood with feet planted firmly in the center of the ring, not even bothering to face Bim when he would dance behind her. She clearly saw him as no threat. I walked up to the ring, close but not too close to where Norp was sparring with himself. I get the impression both Bim and Norp did a lot of things by themselves. Nova's eyes lit up when they made contact with mine.
Well, Mr. Star, how nice of you to join us. I hope your note-taking went well.
Yeah, quite well. I'm sure my readers will be enthralled.
How about going 3 minutes with me?
In the ring?
Zack, remember, you're an engaged man. Also, she almost killed you the last time you went in the ring with her.
For starters, you already have a worthy opponent. I pointed at Bim. She rolled her eyes just as Bim darted in for another one of his feigned attacks. This time, Nova hit him with an open palm to the nose. I knew she hit him because his nose started gushing blood. The red blood all over his skin made an interesting shade of purple. The bleeding was followed by Bim crashing backward to the mat. He was out cold way before he hit the floor. I figured Nova must have hit him with an open hand, because he was still alive. The elf referee stood over Bim.
One, two, three. Ah, forget it. You're out until the bots revive you.
There. No more opponent.
Ooh, goody. My turn now.
Norp, who obviously wasn't that bright, started to climb into the ring. Nova put a foot on his head and pushed him to the ground.
I don't think so.
Then she reached down and grabbed me by the collar. She lifted me up into the ring with one arm. She bent down and took the oversized boxing gloves off Bim just as the medbots carted him away. She tossed me the gloves.
Put them on.
I don't like fighting women.
Don't worry, it's not going to be much of a fight.
By now, everybody else in the gym had figured out what was going on. They were all gathered around the ring. It looked like they were anxious to see the blogger get flogged. Nova was dancing around me now, circling. She was showing much more energy than when she had Bim in the ring. I tend to bring out the best in people. I did. A split nano before a right roundhouse from Nova sailed over me. If I hadn't taken Harv's advice, I would have been waking up next to Bim in the infirmary.
How'd you do that?
She tips her punches. She's a wrestler, not a boxer. The tips are subtle changes in the expression on her face. A human wouldn't even notice. Luckily for you, I've studied all her films and can determine her moves before she makes them. For instance, now she's going to lower her shoulder and slam into you.
Sure enough, Nova did drop a shoulder and slammed into me, driving me into the mat. Even though I knew the move was coming, it was done so expertly, I had no way of avoiding it. When you're me, luck is a kind of relative thing.
She's very good at those wrestling moves.
Yeah, so I've noticed.
I tried to bridge up on my back and use that momentum to roll Nova over me. It didn't work. She had way too much experience to fall for that. She counteracted my bridge by shifting her weight down. She leaned forward over me and pinned me to the ground. If she wasn't trying to kill me, I might have found the hold to be enjoyable. Not quite sure what that says about me.
Talking to yourself again, Zach.
Nova wasn't happy with having me simply pinned to the mat. She was determined to make me suffer a bit more. She managed to stand up using her legs while keeping her body between my legs and her arms tightly locked on my legs. I didn't like where this was heading.
She's using herself as a fulcrum.
I also didn't like the sound of that. Unfortunately, there wasn't much I could do about it. She started to spin and spin and spin. I was getting lightheaded, and not in a good way. This too might have been fun, except I knew the end result was going to be a world of hurt. After she spun me around somewhere between 300 times, she released me. I went flying through the air, sailing out of the ring, and crashed to the floor. I've never missed my body armor as much as I did that nano. I was surprised I was still conscious. I was more astonished when I pushed myself up from the ground. I hurt, but not nearly as much as I ought to.
The new improvements Dr. Bull made to my system are incredible. I was able to relax your muscles, making you better able to absorb the fall, while at the same time I was able to magnify and focus the electromagnetic current your body has to cushion your fall. You're so lucky to have Dr. Bull and me on your side.
Yeah, like I always say, luck is a relative thing.
I headed back toward the ring. From the reaction I heard from the guests, I didn't know if they were happy I was getting up or just anxious for me to take another beating. Whatever the case, a wise man would have been content to walk away from a thrashing like that. I, on the other hand, wasn't about to let Nova have her way with me. I knew Nova's type. Sadly, I've had far too much experience with him. If I was going to get Nova to open up to me, I was going to have to prove that I could hold my own with her in the ring. Of course, to do that, I was going to need Harv.
I need you to flash her.
Excuse me?
I'm gonna lock eyes with her, then you holo flash her. Once you blinded her, I'll have a chance.
A slim one.
Nova took a step back, letting me climb back into the ring. She wiped her brow, though she wasn't really sweating.
You're either braver or stupider than I thought.
Probably both.
I'm almost gonna regret knocking you out. When you come to, we'll have to take a walk.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
She moved forward and grabbed me. I locked my eyes with her.
Now, Harv.
Nova suddenly blinked her eyes and lowered her head.
What the?
I made my move and hit her with an uppercut to the chin. That sent her head rocketing back, but she didn't fall. She was off balance, though, and I aimed to take advantage of that. I moved forward, keeping my body close to hers. I grabbed her neck with my right hand and her waist with my left. I bent down and lifted her off the ground. Even bulked up, she only weighed about 70 kilos, so it wasn't all that impressive. Still, I was pleased. I body slammed her to the mat. that looked like it should have really hurt her. I moved forward. She kicked up her legs and wrapped them around my neck. She tightened her grip. I may have been standing and on top, but I was in trouble. Her grip was vice-like. I dropped to my knees.
Sleep tight.
Things started spinning. I might have been able to use Harf to shock her like I did the last time we tangled, but with a crowd around, that would have blown my cover. I decided discretion was the better part of valor here. When I woke up, I was lying on top of my bed in my room. My head hurt a little, but it was nothing I couldn't live with. I sat up.
What time is it?
Do you mean pole time?
No, I mean Greenwich Mean Time.
Oh, that would be...
What time is it here, Harv?
2200 hours. You've been out for 5 hours. I'm not sure if Santana will insist on a credit for that time or what. You missed dinner, but the elves said that they would send you room service when you came around.
I didn't have much choice.
What did you prove by going back in after she tossed you out?
I need her to respect me, or else she won't be of any help.
Well, it seems to have worked. She's invited you for a walk outside tomorrow morning.
Isn't it cold out there?
It will be minus 28 degrees Celsius, but you'll be equipped with special hats and gloves. You won't feel a thing.
You always say that, and I always do.
I can turn off the cold and heat receptors in your brain if you wish.
No. That sounds worse than being cold. Those receptors are there for a reason.
I called room service and ordered a roast beef sandwich and a hot cocoa. I didn't really want the cocoa, but that was all they would serve me this late at night, so I took what I could get. As I ate, I thought about the case. I was reasonably certain somebody or something was reprogramming the guard bots to get them to do their dirty work. The question was, who? I knew it wasn't Nova. Now I was certain attacking people with bots just wasn't her style. Way too subtle. She may have been a member of the Santana Stink Society, and she may have loved the snow, but she wasn't behind this. Still, I would be interested in knowing why she was here and how she saw through my hollow disguise. I planned to go over that with her during our walk the following day. I also didn't believe the Eatmans were involved. I wasn't sure why. I wouldn't rule out that Mary hiring a killer, but I didn't see a motive. Not for her bringing down the pole. That left the Billingses, the Weatherses, and Bim and Norp. One or more of them was behind this. I felt it clear down to my toes. Like I said, I just needed to figure out who. For that, I would need a method and a motive. I still couldn't completely rule out a disgruntled elf or two. It's hard to conceive of, but maybe, just maybe, one or two of them didn't like being dependent on Santana's life-extending drugs. I decided to sleep on it. Jumped up in bed.
A tweeting gong, Harv?
Are you up?
Of course I'm up. You just hit a gong in my cranium. This better be good.
I hear a guard bot rolling down the hall.
So?
I've tapped into the pole scheduling system. There are no guard bots scheduled to come down this hall for another hour.
Oh.
I rolled behind the bed and placed it between myself and the door. A guard bot holding a pillow in its claw rolled in. Except for the pillow in its claw, it was identical to the two I tangled with before.
Oh, I was hoping to make this look like an accident.
Yeah, right. Like anyone was really gonna believe I suffocated to death with my own pillow. It would have been just as subtle to laser me to death.
Actually, Zach, it can't. All energy weapons are deactivated inside the building here.
Great.
I stood up from behind the bed. I pulled the H2O pistol from my elf suit pocket and showed it to the bot.
It appears I have you outgunned.
Hardly.
It started rolling toward me.
My claw is infinitely sharper than razor wire, and I am far stronger than you.
Don't forget more modest.
I am also oxidation-proof. There is nothing an H2O pistol can do to harm me. Even if I wasn't oxidation-proof, you would be long dead before the water in that little gun could even begin to harm me.
Very true, my long-winded friend.
I pulled the trigger, hitting the bot with a stream of liquid right in its eye sensor. The sensor started to burn.
If I could feel pain, this would hurt.
If I actually had H2O in here. Quick, Harf, where's the main control unit on this thing?
That's why you grabbed cleaning acid and a gun.
I figured if these guns can stand up to a 10-year-old kid, then a little high-powered cleaning acid should be nothing. So where's the control CPU?
Lower back. I'll give you a cursor target.
The bot now started to roam the room, spinning around and clawing at the air. Obviously, its programming had never covered being blinded by acid from an H2O pistol. I walked up behind it. A cursor appeared in front of my eyes and seemed to zoom in on the bot's backside. I fired at the spot the cursor covered. The bot stopped moving, its claw went limp, its screen went dead, and its lights went out. I figured that meant it was deactivated. I went to the wall computer and pushed the service button.
Yes?
I need to see Santana and Elf One now, please.
Yes, sir.
Within minutes, Santana and Elf One were in my room, looking over the beat bot.
We've never had problems with our god bots before.
Actually, you have. I think the two murdered elves were done in by bots. Plus, two of your bots attacked me at my office yesterday. I'm surprised they even turned up missing.
There are 200 bots here, but only 170 are active any given day. So you may have been attacked by one of the off-duty bots.
So our bots are bad.
I'm sure they had help getting that way. How many elves can reprogram a bot?
All of us. Except maybe Rocco.
Great. That narrows it down.
All bots have vid recorders built into them. Everything they do is recorded.
I'm sure whoever did this wasn't stupid enough to leave the recorder on.
The recorders are timed and non-stoppable. They're bound to show something. There should be at least a break in the clock when they were reprogrammed.
Well, check it out. It might give us something.
I better shut down the bots until we figure out what's going on.
No. Let's not panic yet. We still don't know who or what is behind this. If we shut the bots down now, they might cover their tracks before we can find them.
Santana looked over at me for approval.
I couldn't agree more.
So, what's the plan then?
Get some rest. Tomorrow will be a long day. I'm awake! I'm awake!
Message from Elf One coming in.
What's up, Elfie?
Bad news, Mr. Johnson. I mean, Mr. Star. The bot's replay showed nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, its internal clock was even continuous.
Huh. Do you record energy readings in the area?
Of course.
Good. Check for enhanced radio wave and HF microwave transmissions over the last few days.
Right. I'll be back when I have something.
Are you thinking what I think you're thinking?
Harv, you don't actually think, you just simulate thinking. But if you're calculating remote reprogramming, then yes.
The bots have all their commands hardwired into them, making them tough to override.
Tough, but possible.
Yes, possible, but also quite expensive. Uh-oh, call coming in.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes?
HF wave transmission to the pole have been up since yesterday, probably due to sunspot activity.
Actually, that would be me. I needed to access some outside databases.
But the readings jumped way up last night for about 20 nanos.
Thanks, F1. I'll keep you informed.
I pushed the button on the wall, turning off the vid conferencing.
Who do we know who can remotely reprogram bots?
Eggshell and H-Tech have both done it in the past with average bots and computers.
What about the meshes?
In their sleep.
I'm gonna shower, shave, and grab breakfast. I'm famished.
Yes, you can't solve crimes on an empty stomach.
I could, but then I'd be grumpy afterward.
When I got to the breakfast table, Nova and Councilwoman Weathers weren't there. Nova was at the gym, working out. Weathers had a special meeting with Santana. That gave me a chance to chat with the others and to see how Bim and Norp acted when Nova wasn't around. I learned that when Nova wasn't around, Bim and Norp spent their time talking about Nova. They wanted to join her at the gym, but Nova made it clear to them it was enter at risk of death. For some reason, they listened. Mary and Steve were busy trying to decide what to do with their free time today. Mary wanted to make one last pitch to the elves to get them to unionize. Steve had his headset on reviewing the pole's computer systems. This gave Carl Weathers and I time to chat. I asked him casually about his mining company. He was quite open about it. He insisted he didn't want to be bothered with it, but Stormy thought it would be a good investment for him. She said it would help keep him occupied. According to her, he couldn't just be Mr. Stormy Weathers all the time. Carl, for his part, said he didn't mind watching his wife from the bench. He had made a fine living being a bench warmer, and he didn't see much reason to change now. After breakfast, I waited by the pole's main gate for a good 15 minutes before Nova showed up. She was wearing her elf suit with her sleeves and legs ripped off.
Sorry, I'm late.
She grabbed me by the arm.
I wanted to stop at the gym for a little workout. It wasn't at all fun, though. None of their anti-grav weights go over 1,000 kilos. Oh, come on, let's go.
You really want to go outside?
Of course, silly.
Through the glass, I saw snow, trees, lights, snow, some more trees, and more snow. What wasn't covered in snow was covered in ice.
Isn't it a bit cold out there?
Ah, don't worry. Your suit's insulated.
Yeah, but my head and hands aren't.
She pointed to a box near the door. The box's hologram label read gloves and hats in English and many other languages. I reached into the box and pulled out a skin-tight pair of gloves and a silly-looking elf hat. I slipped them both on. I couldn't have looked much more ridiculous than I felt. Nova smiled at me.
Don't you need gloves and a hat? And, well, pant legs and a long-sleeved shirt?
Oh, I find the cold exhilarating.
She looked up at the big door that led to the outside world.
Door open.
Please make sure you are wearing your protective gloves and hat. Remember, the pole takes no responsibility for what happens to you outside these doors. Do you understand this disclaimer?
Yes.
Do you agree to this disclaimer?
Yes.
Remember, it's best to stay outside less than 15 minutes. Please enjoy your experience. You may proceed.
Nova and I walked out. The suit and hat and gloves worked well. I didn't feel the cold.
I'm honored you want to talk with me.
You might not be so honored when you find out what I want to talk about. First off, I'm interested in knowing how you know me.
My little secret.
I glared at her. I don't normally glare at beautiful women, especially ones with arms bigger than my legs, but I wasn't in the mood to be subtle or coy.
I could tell by your pheromone scent. I never forget a smell.
Your mom must be so proud.
Is that all you called me out here for?
You were the one who wanted to go walking through the frozen tundra. There is a reason I wanted to speak to you in private.
Oh?
When doing a background check on you, I found you were once a member of the Santana Stink Society.
Yeah, the elves questioned me on that. I assured them I have nothing personal against Santana.
Then why were you a member?
Guess.
I'm not in the mood.
It was during my date the geek phase.
Oh yes, Ben Pierce, the android expert turned lousy poet.
He was against Santana.
Why?
Mostly because X-Shell had put in a bid for the pole gig when Ben was a young scientist. They wanted Santana to be an android. Ben insisted that would be the way to go. Androids are more rational than organics, Ben always said. Even a genetically improved human couldn't keep up with a good android.
The council shut him down, though, huh?
Yeah, they thought the world would relate better to an organic Santana. I agree. But to keep my man happy, I went along and joined the SSS. I did it under my real name, just in case any fans found out.
I see.
I am so through my geek stage now.
I can see that, too.
Anything else you want to chat about, Zach?
Somebody tried to kill me yesterday.
Zach, I was only playing with you yesterday.
No, somebody really tried to kill me.
From what I understand, that happens quite often.
True. I'm in demand.
Do you think I tried to kill you? Because if you do, coming out alone with me wasn't such a good idea. Without your weapons and gadgets, I could literally kill you with the wink of my eye.
That may be true, but I don't think you're a killer.
With less than no warning, Nova lifted me up and heaved me across the ice. I sat up and cleared the snow and stars from my eyes. Nova was storming toward me.
You don't think I'm a killer?
I've been known to be wrong.
You're right, you're wrong.
I hate being right about being wrong.
I ripped a big icicle off from above. Nova came at me. I clubbed her over the head with the icicle. She just smiled. She picked me up off the ground and pulled me into a bear hug.
So you don't think I'm a killer, huh?
I'm starting to have second and third thoughts.
Zach, grab her head with both hands. I have a trick up our sleeves, but first you'll have to remove your gloves.
I had to move fast as I felt the air being squeezed out of my lungs. I pulled off my left glove and dropped it on the ground. I pulled off the right glove and let that one drop too. I clasped both hands around Nova's ears.
You really have no sense of humor.
Not when somebody's trying to kill me.
If I was trying to kill you, you'd be dead yesterday.
What is this? Some kind of strange joke?
I am a killer. Just not your killer. I'm a lady mutant pro wrestler. We have to have killer attitudes or the other mutants will run all over us. In my circle, being tagged as not a killer is an insult.
Sorry. My girlfriend's always telling me I have these antisocial tendencies.
She sat down, then patted the ice.
Come sit next to me.
Reluctantly, I did.
You're not gonna try to almost kill me again, are you?
Not as long as you don't accuse me of not being a killer again.
It's a deal.
By holding your own in Mortal Kombat with me, you've earned my respect. Even if you did have to cheat again.
Hey, they say all is fair in love and war. And with you, Nova, it's hard to tell the difference.
Oh, thank you.
Don't mention it. I watched as she munched on a handful of snow.
Oh, yum. This stuff is even better than sex and violence.
You really like that stuff.
I and pretty much all mutants have a thing for this snow. But Santana won't sell it.
So is that why you're here? To talk to Santana about a deal?
I wish. I'm just here because somebody sent me a free pass.
Do you know who?
No, and I don't really care. Though, I have a pretty good idea. Just as long as I get to eat this wonderful ice. So somebody tried to kill you?
Nah, it was just a clever ploy so I could accuse you of not being a killer, so you'd try to practically kill me.
You really hold a grudge, don't you?
Sorry, sometimes I get a little resentful to being the universe's punching bag. Yes, somebody tried to kill me.
Any idea who?
Well, I'm pretty sure who it wasn't. I don't think it was the Eatmans, and not to offend you, but I don't think you're the one. Though I do think you're capable of killing.
You are a fast learner.
What do you know about Bim and Norp?
Ugh, they're annoying.
They seem to like you.
Believe me, it is not mutual. Like I said, I'm past my geek freak stage.
I assume they're the ones who sent you the free ticket.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I doubt they have the external sex organs to attempt to murder you.
Well, maybe not in person, but I think they're capable of sending a bot after me.
A bot? What kind of bot?
A guard bot.
A guard bot?
Yeah, a guard bot.
Ugh!
She leapt over and pulled me to the ground a split nano before a laser blast fired over my head. Yeah, a guard bot just like that. Arf, I thought you said the guard bots couldn't fire their lasers.
I did, but I stressed the inside of the pole's building. Currently, you are outside, therefore...
Great. And I don't even have my H2O pistol.
Your eye. It talks.
And talks and talks and talks, but that's the least of our worries now.
Ha! Huh. So that's how you blinded me yesterday, and shocked me just now. You're wearing a computer. Doss, I thought Bim and Norb were the geeks.
Let's focus on the situation at hand, Nova.
I have deduced that you are unarmed, therefore I may safely approach and annihilate you from a close distance. I will not fail like my comrades.
Harp, do you have enough juice to give this thing the shock treatment?
I think so.
Will it stop it?
If you can get behind and zap it in the main control panel, probably.
It's not going to just let me get around it, Harp. The old your shoes untied trick isn't going to work here.
Nova reacted quickly and surprisingly. She stood up, grabbed me, and then hurled me over the bot just as it fired. The laser from the bot flew by me and hit Nova in the shoulder. She fell back in pain. I flew through the air with the greatest of ease over the bot. The bot fired at me several times, but missed ever so slightly each time. Apparently, it wasn't programmed to hit flying targets. I crashed to the ground just behind the bot. I lunged toward it.
Now, Harp!
The next thing I knew, I was waking up in the Pole's infirmary. Santana, Elf One, and Nova were watching an elf doctor examine me.
Electra's right. I shouldn't eat pizza before I go to bed.
He's going to be all right now.
I sat up in my toboggan-shaped bed. My head hurt, but I seemed to be alive.
Tweet. I was hoping this whole ordeal was just a dream.
But I'd like a second opinion.
Everybody else shook their heads.
I was afraid of that.
You're lucky to be alive, Zack.
That's easy for you to say.
All of a sudden, I thought of something.
Harv? Harv, come in, please.
He's obviously delirious.
Harv, talk to me.
I tapped my head.
Zack, I'm undercover, remember?
Forget the cover, Harv. That's pretty much blown. How come you didn't tell me what would happen if I tried to zap a guard bot?
I didn't want to scare you.
What?
It actually makes sense. The only chance you had of stopping the bot was using me to electrocute it. So, the fact that you might actually electrocute yourself didn't matter, since you would have died anyway.
Well, I hate to admit it, Harv, but you're right.
I wobbled to my feet.
Of course.
He's wearing a computer. That's against the rules!
Number one, when it comes to rules, I don't think they apply to Mr. Johnson here.
Oh, they apply. I just choose to ignore them when the choice is comply or die. Survival of the fittest, or at least the trickiest, is the only rule I adhere to.
I looked at Nova.
You thought pretty fast on your feet back there.
A good warrior knows how to think on her feet, as well as on her back.
Who do you think is behind all this, Zack?
I never accuse until I'm positive. It cuts down on lawsuits.
I need to talk one-on-one with Mrs. Billings, Councilwoman Weathers, and Bimon Norp.
The councilwoman? Surely you don't think she's behind this? After all, she's the most...
respected and honest person in the world. Yes, I know. I've read me her press release. She's still a person of power, and that makes her a person of interest to me.
If you say so, you're the expert and you know best.
It's also time for me to reveal my true identity. Let the bad guys know I'm on the case.
Don't you think they already know, since there have been two attempts on your life in the last 2 days?
Yeah, that might be bad karma.
I looked at Nova.
Or warnings from jealous lovers. Even if they do know my identity, my coming clean will make them think I'm close to breaking the case. It'll force their hand. I need to talk to those people first, and then, if needed, the entire group.
Fine. I'll have Ma Billings meet you in the library at 1700. Is that all right?
What time is it now?
1402.
Okay, I can live with that. It gives me time to go to my room, collect my thoughts, and clean up.
I arrived in my room and threw myself down on my bed. Both of the most recent attempts on my life were after I'd been with Nova. I was pretty certain Bim and Norp were behind them. I wasn't as sure that Bim and Norp were behind the dead elves. I couldn't see what they would gain from it. Still, there had to be a connection. While I took a quick shower, with green and red sprays of water, Harv and Elf One made arrangements. I would meet with my major suspects first. Mrs. Billings, followed by the councilwoman, then Bim, followed by Norp. I would do the questioning, and Harv would do a voice analysis of their answers, while Santana and Elf One listened in. After I met with a suspect, they would be kept separate from the others. Once I had met with each suspect, we'd all get together, I would reveal myself as Zach Mixon Johnson and identify the killer. It would be a great storybook moment. There was only one problem. I knew what it was, but that didn't stop Harv from pointing it out to me.
You're going to do the dramatic reveal?
Yep.
Surely you realize there's a problem with you staging a comic book unveiling of the mastermind behind the murders.
Not really.
Zach. Most detectives don't schedule an appointment to name the killer until they know who the killer is.
I'm not your average detective, and this isn't an average case. I've narrowed down the list of suspects. After my one-on-one sessions, the list will be even smaller.
And if it's not?
I bluff. I put on a big show and let the bad guys sweat.
And if they don't?
Don't worry, they will.
How can you be so confident?
Truthfully, I wasn't sure how I'd know. It was just another one of my hunches. Those hunches had kept me alive this long. I wasn't about to stop trusting them now. I sat in a comfortable plush chair in the library, waiting for Mrs. Billings. The library was filled with giant computer screens in front of big fluffy chairs that looked and felt a lot like clouds, only with more support. Outside of the holly draping the doors, the room wasn't as over the top as the rest of the pole. From my comfy chair, I saw Mrs. Billings enter the room and slowly skulked toward me.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Starr?
Please sit.
She sat, albeit reluctantly.
May I ask what this is about?
Robotics, quantum physics, radio waves, life, death, taxes, sports scores, you name it.
I beg your pardon?
Quit playing the naive pharma with me. I know you used to work for H-Tech designing guard bots.
That was a long time ago. It's all behind me now.
Why?
Why?
Why'd you quit?
I don't see where that's any of your business.
It is when your bots try to kill me.
What are you talking about?
In the last 2 days, I've been attacked 3 times by 4 of your bots.
First of all, they're hardly my bots. H-Tech and I broke off our relationship years ago. Secondly, if you really did face off with just one guard bot, you'd be dead now. They're more than a match for any normal human.
Well, let's just say I'm not any normal human.
Here was where I decided to go off script. I reached down on my belt and deactivated the holodisguise.
Do you know who I am?
You're that private investigator guy. The one who's always getting himself in strange jams.
Hey, I don't get myself in jams on purpose. They tend to find me.
What are you doing here?
She's not nearly as surprised as she's pretending to be.
Like I said, your bots tried to kill me.
I have no idea why that would happen. What are you doing here anyway?
2 elves were killed. Santana brought me here to investigate.
She's covering something, but she's not in panic mode.
Are you accusing me of something?
No, I'm just curious. Curiosity may have killed the cat, but it tends to keep the PI alive. Why are you and your family here?
We're on vacation. Little Billy won a contest.
You're trying to tell me it's sheer coincidence that one of the designers of the pole's guard bots happens to be at the pole when the guard bots decide to start killing elves and attacking me?
Your information is old, Mr. Johnson. If you look hard enough and in the right places, you will see that I only worked on the guard bot project at the very beginning. I was transferred to another project.
I can't confirm that, Zack, but I can say she's either not lying or an expert liar.
Why would I want to kill elves? Or you, for that matter? Until just seconds ago, I had no idea who you really were. Though I can understand why somebody would sic guard bots on you.
She's definitely not lying with that last statement. You might want to take a people skill course.
So, what made you move to New Kansas?
I'm not a murderer.
I didn't say you were.
The pressure of working for H-Tech got to me. I wanted to get as far away from robots as possible.
She's not lying.
I guess being a farm mom in New Kansas is as far away from making robots as you can get.
That's why I love it so much. It's good, honest work. I'm making the world a better place now, not worse.
You didn't like making robots?
No, it was for the money. Believe me, it was huge amounts of money, but after a while, I needed to work with something with a soul.
Wheat?
No, my family.
Oh.
My family and I help feed other families.
You must use bots to help with the work.
Of course we do, but those bots are just a means to the end, not the end itself. Bots are necessary in today's world. I know that and accept that.
You'll use them, but not create them.
Exactly, Mr. Johnson.
You're a regular the end justifies the means kind of gal.
You have no idea.
Ooh, her heart rate jumped there.
I wasn't sure what that meant. But I was pretty certain that Mrs. Billings wasn't responsible for the deaths of the elves. She stood up from her chair.
Are we done? My family must be missing me.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Billings, but it'll be a few minutes before you can rejoin your family. I have a couple other people of interest to chat with before I bring you all together.
Are you detaining me?
Just delaying you for a few minutes. It's for the good of the case.
She gave me a glare that I assumed she normally used on her husband when he pissed her off.
It'll only be for a short time, I promise.
The elves have cookies and hot cocoa.
I pointed to a door at the back of the room.
There's a nice, comfortable waiting room back there. The elves have cookies and hot cocoa.
Well, I do love cocoa.
That's the spirit.
Harv and the elves coordinated the arrival of my next guest, Councilwoman Weathers. As I was sitting in my chair and back in my hollow disguise, the door across the room opened. Councilwoman Weathers strutted in. She had to be in her late 50s, but you couldn't tell by looking at her. There wasn't a blemish or a wrinkle to be found. Her eyes still had the sparkle of a teenager's. The only hint that she wasn't a young woman was the frosty gray of her hair. I imagine she kept the gray because some consultant told her it made her look distinguished. It did. In fact, she walked with an air of nobility, not unlike a queen. Or a rock star.
For gate's sake, stand up. You're greeting a lady, and a very important lady at that.
I knew Harv was right. I just didn't want to seem too anxious. When the councilwoman was within a meter, I rose. She walked up to me and extended a hand. I wasn't sure if she meant for me to shake it or to kiss it. I went with the former.
Mr. Starr, I'm honored you wish to interview me, a humble servant of the people.
Please, I'm the one who's honored. Sit, please.
She looked at the chair as if it were a bear trap.
I'm a very busy woman.
You're on vacation. Trust me, this will only take a few minutes.
Even on vacation, I'm a busy woman.
I appreciate your time.
As well you should.
She primed her lips, then crossed her legs. They were fine legs, upper-class legs. The legs of a woman who worked out because she wanted to, not because she needed to.
How can I help you with your little story? I think my last interview was with an Oprah clone. Or was it a clone of a clone? I can never tell them apart. I know most clones of clones go postal, but Oprah, well, she could afford the best of the best.
Oh, I'm sure. Only, I didn't ask you here to talk about cloning clones.
Yes, of course. What can I do for you?
It was time for a decision. Should I stay with a called play and interview the councilwoman in character? Or did I go for the audible and hit her with a real Zack? It worked well enough the previous time. Only that was with an engineer turned farm mom, and neither of those professions called for smooth people skills. This was a professional politician, an entirely different animal. No matter what Harv said, she was a professional liar.
At the very least, she was a person who made her living telling other people what they wanted to hear and making it sound like it was her idea. I went with the audible. Not only that, but I went for the long bomb, the touchdown pass.
Well, well, Zachary Nixon Johnson. At last we meet. I knew it was only a matter of time before our paths crossed. After all, you save the world.
And you run it.
The world runs itself, Mr. Johnson. I'm just one of the many people who helps guide it in the best direction for all. What brings you to the pole? Since you are in disguise, I gather this is more than a vacation.
There's been a murder, and several attempts on my life.
A murder? How come I haven't heard of it?
I can't tell if she's lying, but she doesn't seem surprised.
The pole is funded by the World Council. Santana should have told us.
You were a businesswoman before you entered politics, weren't you?
Yes.
Then you know it's bad form to spook your investors, especially with news of murder.
Good point. We should have been told nonetheless.
Santana was planning on telling you once she collected more data. That's where I come in.
You're the data collection agency.
My specialty is extra-sensitive material.
When did the murder occur?
2 days ago. And it was two murders.
2 days ago? That's when my party and I got here.
Exactly.
But all the people I arrived with are still here. Elves. Elves were killed.
That's right.
Surely I'm not a suspect. I assure you, Mr. Johnson, I'm not an elf killer. What did I do, kill them with my bare hands?
That doesn't mean you wouldn't hire somebody to kill them. Or in this case, hire somebody to rewire their killers.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. Why would I hire somebody to reprogram bots to kill elves?
I never mentioned bots.
Please, Mr. Johnson, you said rewire their killers. I put one and one together and figured guard bots killed the elves.
I can't tell if she's telling the truth. I still don't think she'd kill elves.
Why would I want to upset the pole?
Maybe because the pole isn't operating quite the way you'd like.
You've lost me.
I know that certain people in the World Council would be very interested in using the elves' skills to make weapons. She leaned forward on her chair, hands on her knees.
Now, how did you learn that?
Her eyes wandered across the ceiling. I could see her mind working this out. Then her eyes focused on me.
That little tramp Sexy Sprockets told you.
Sexy isn't a little tramp.
Please. Her bedroom sees more action than Grand Central Teleport Station. This is what happens when they let amateurs into politics. They misinterpret, and then they blab.
Don't look at me. I didn't vote for her.
Yes, but you kept her from dying.
You admit there is some tension between the council and Santana.
Not openly. There are certain council members who would be interested in seeing the poll widen their product base.
Into weapons.
I wouldn't say that.
One of your co-workers could have organized this.
They are all politicians, Zach. They are capable of anything.
You're a politician, too.
Yes, I am, and a darn good one, too, I might add. One who is too smart to mess with a good thing. I'm a woman of peace, Zach. I love what the pole does for Earth.
Oh, wow, is she ever telling the truth?
Trust me, Mr. Johnson. I continually strive to make the world a better place. I assume you are running some sort of voice analysis program on me.
I am.
I know it has confirmed that I am telling the truth.
It has.
Then I'm free to go.
Yes, of course. I just ask that you wait in a secluded room while I talk to the other people of interest.
Will you be bringing my husband in?
Not in the first round.
Good. He's a sweet man and nice eye candy, but not nearly bright enough to pull off something like this.
She sauntered out of the room. As she walked out, my eyes followed. I didn't want them to, but they did. She was that kind of woman. Not strikingly beautiful, but she commanded and held your attention. She's the closest thing we have to royalty these days. A woman of obvious upbringing and dignity. A woman with great intelligence and a quiet beauty. A woman respected by the entire planet. I knew she had to be in on it.
You're too pensive.
Nah, just thinking.
Zach, for once, can't you just admit you're wrong and stop looking for flaws in a councilwoman?
I've never seen you so defensive of a human that wasn't Randy.
I don't know what it is about her. I've never met a human that was so perfect. Well, not perfect, because no human can be perfect, but as close to perfection as humanly possible.
You've got a crush on her. Harv appeared before me, waving a finger in my face.
I knew you were going to say that. I am not in love, and I do not have a crush. Neither of those are logical.
I crossed my arms and looked at him. I didn't say a word. I just let myself smile ever so slightly.
I know what you're thinking, Zach. He's connected to me, so he's becoming more and more illogical. I admit that thought has crossed my cognitive generators about a trillion times. But no, I just admire Councilwoman Weathers for being so good at what she does and so flawless.
You know other exceptional women.
That's true. Electra is a wonderful example of a human female. She's smart, witty, beautiful, and a gifted doctor and athlete. I'm amazed every day that she loves you. Still, she has flaws. She snores, she has an irrational fear of moths, and she has a temper only slightly cooler than molten lava.
Good point.
Then there's Carol. She's another exceptional human woman. She is also beautiful inside and out and sharp as a tack. Being a Class 1 Level 6 Psi, she's one of the most powerful beings on the planet. I'm amazed every day that she works for you and respects you.
Gee, thanks, Harv. I like you too.
Despite all her good points, Carol is flawed. She can't cook, she has a funny left little toe, and her feet are much more potent than you would expect. Plus that temper. It may be harder to ignite than Electra's, but it's even more volatile when it does. Witness the ex-boyfriend whose car she melted.
She may be superhuman, but she's still human.
That's the amazing thing about the councilwoman. She's human, but I can't find any flaws. You practically accused her of stomping on those dead elves herself, and she didn't bat an eyelash. And her body temperature didn't rise. She was cool as a cryogenic cucumber.
That's what worries me, Harv. Like they say, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is.
They also say it's possible to overthink a problem.
Wow, Harv. You're accusing me of thinking too much?
Thinking may be too strong a word. Zack, I know you think you have a sixth sense when it comes to this kind of thing. I have admitted you do have a very good knack of shifting through potential outcomes and choosing the right one.
Thanks. You make it sound so special.
However, there are times when you just have to let it go. When you have to admit that a toaster really is just a toaster and is not trying to kill you.
Fine. Let's get ready for Bim and Norp.